It's me, Nick Z. Welcome back to the On Deck Circle podcast. Brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. It has been way too long. 2 weeks. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, a Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Since we are a little late, I'm just going to bring my man Jason on in real quick. 3, 2, 1. There he is. What's up, my man? How are you?
What's up, Nick? Happy New Year. It has been a few weeks. You know, took a little break for the holidays, which was, I think, needed. But yeah.
Nothing's happened in baseball.
Still currently in the lockout.
What's his name got fired today? Or was it last night? The reporter.
Oh, yeah. Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah.
And I guess
Rob Manfred or something.
Yeah, he was criticizing Rob Manfred. And, of course, he works for MLB Network. So MLB Network decided to let him go. And unfortunately, yeah, because he's a great reporter. I love all his stuff that he does. And, yeah, that did not deserve to be let go by MLB Network. Dude's a great reporter.
Question. Gift. Did you get any good gifts?
I did. I got a few good gifts.
Give me your number one.
Oh, man. There's a couple good ones. I got a really sick Justin Fields t-shirt.
Okay.
I almost wore it on the pod tonight, but I was like, I'll save it for maybe another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's actually from Barstool. It's like the silhouette of Fields, like the headband.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite, I think. It was also a little bit of an unexpected gift. Like, I didn't ask for it. My wife just kind of got it. Yeah. So
it's perfect. It's nice when your significant other, when they're like, oh, I'm not like, he'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And you open it to a surprise and you're actually like, wow, this is actually really cool. Yeah,
like thanks. Actually, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What about you? Do you get any good gifts?
Yeah. So luckily,
what's your best gift?
I'm still at the age where we don't have grandkids in my family. So sure. Like I still get like good shit from my parents.
Okay.
So I actually
what'd you get?
You might be able to see behind this control. I got a sound bar. And
oh, nice.
The surround sound speaker. There's one on each side.
Wow.
And there's like a sub.
Whoa. Yeah. Our neighbors are not going to like that.
Yes. Yeah. And I've just started watching all the Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I saw your updates on Twitter.
Yep. So that's where I'm at. And I've had one complaint just being like, hey, like it's 8. Can you like chill? And I'm like, yeah.
Hey, those Marvel cinema movies, they can get kind of loud with the explosions and action. So
it's a good time. I wish sports were better, but I'm like, it sounds fine. But like the best is the surround sound. You just hear like those small explosions in the back. You just hear like faint crowd noise. But it's all
right. That's cool, though. That's cool.
I guess we'll bring Dave in. I've been babbling enough. Dave. Hi, I'm Dave.
You do babble a lot.
I'm a babbler. Unfortunately, it's not usually about like anything productive to the podcast. It's just like the pizzazz about it.
Yeah. If you were a woman, I think your name would be Brooke.
Okay.
The Babbling Brooke?
Babbling Brooke.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hashtag dad jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dave, quick, what's your favorite gift, if you got any?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't have friends or family, so I didn't really get anything. Somebody got me a panini maker, and I think that might be the only gift I got.
That sounds like a great gift.
You're batting 1,000, Dave.
Yeah.
So that would be, I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
That's good.
My one and only gift. Unless I'm forgetting something, but I'm not sure that I am.
No new balls. Any gifts to yourself?
I did. I haven't opened it yet. I've been too busy. I got home from work and I've been busy with stuff for getting this together. But I did get a Doc Gooden 1986 signed World Series baseball today.
Wow. Nice. That's a good pickup.
I would show it to you, but it's still wrapped downstairs and it's on my kitchen table.
There's probably some Coke crack still on it. Right.
I hope so. That's why I bought it. I plan on licking it. You know, licking my balls. All right. Well, let's get into some stuff here because we got some fun stuff here.
Yeah, this is a good one
on this episode. So we're going to continue a dynasty deep dive. We're going Chicago White Sox this week, and instead of us each breaking down a pitcher, hitter, and prospect, we've just divvied it up between the three of us, and we're each just going to take one of those sections. And then I thought a nice off-season activity would be to kind of go through my dynasty rankings and, you know, like each week basically pick a position and kind of go through some of the top, you know, options. I'm thinking maybe like top 10 for most positions, and then the deeper ones like, you know, pitching and outfield. Maybe we go maybe we go top 20 there. So we're going to do top 20 starting pitching based on my last update. I'm in the process of updating it now. So there may be some live rankings updates based on our conversation. And then I thought maybe we'd go, you know, like, you know, just kind of keep it some maybe top five prospects at each position. And then, you know, same thing with outfield and starting pitching, or outfield and pitching, where it's a little deeper, maybe we go 10. So that's what I'm thinking we're going to do. But that's definitely what we're doing for today's show. So let's get into the White Sox. Which one of you two fine gentlemen want to start that off?
I'll start up.
All right, let's get it.
All right, I did a hitter. And this is a guy that had probably the most hype out of somebody in a long time, and that is Yoan Moncada, at least coming up. He was the piece in the Chris Sale deal. The whole rumor here was it's Benintendi or it's Yoan. And they called Benintendi to say that they traded him, and then they didn't. I wish they did because it didn't turn out great. But Moncada's actually been like quietly – he had a great 2019. 2020, he was all right. Like not – he was worse, but that whole year he kind of got thrown out. And last year he was sneaky good. His OBP was 375. And for a guy that I always felt was like a strikeout guy – if you can get on base over 350, you're good in my book. One thing that did surprise me was his stolen bases. I don't know why, but he only stole 3 bases last year. And I know it's like going down, but I figured he'd be at least like a 10, 12 guy, which is what he got at least in 2019. What else? 14 homers last year. I can see those getting up to 20. He seems like he could be a 20, 25 guy, at least for the next few years, I'd say. That's third base, second base. I don't know. It really depends on the league. If he's your second baseman, you're in really good fucking shape.
Yeah, I mean, even after a down year, a quote unquote down year in 2021, he still, you know, was productive with, he said that 375. I mean, he didn't have the greatest batting average, but walked a ton. I think he had like a career high in walk rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, the power was a little disappointing, but still, I mean, everyone's allowed a down year, but I definitely would like to see, especially in that lineup, I would love to see him, you know, turn things back around, maybe even to that 2019 power side where I think he was like 25 home runs or something. But yeah, I mean, that's I'm a big Moncada fan too, so I guess we'll jump right into the I was tasked and I got the pitcher. I think one of the pods, our pod's favorite pitchers, not just in the White Sox, is altogether is Dylan Cease.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dave has a big infatuation with Dylan Cease, as do I. You know, I've been a fan of Cease.
You might be surprised where he sits in my rankings then.
Oh, okay. You know, I've been a fan of Cease, you know, even back when he was drafted by the Cubs. I mean, obviously, that's one of the reasons why I kind of like him. But, you know, the righty still, he's only 26 years old. Still has, you know, high-end velocity on his fastball, sits like mid-90s, can reach high 90s with ease. He's got some nasty breaking pitches. He uses to put the breaking pitches, uses it to put away both lefties and righties. Gets a ton of spin on all of his pitches. You know, both the fastball and curveball spin rank in the top 15% of the league. You know, and this is only his third season in the bigs. It seems like he's been around. I mean, maybe because I'm a Cubs fan, I've been talking about him since 2014. But he's only been in the bigs for 3 years now. We finally got to see what he can do in 2021 when he actually pitched a full workload. You know, his 32% K rate ranked in the top 7% of the league. He had 226 strikeouts, which is actually 7th best in the league. It was actually better than some of the big names, such as, you know, he had more strikeouts than Woodruff, Buehler, Yu Darvish. You know, one of the biggest knocks on Cease has always been his control. However, this year, you know, he cut his walk rate down to 9.6%. And in his last 11 starts of 2021, he had 7 of which he had 2 or fewer walks. So, I know he ended on 2021 on a good note. I think, you know, a lot of people are still kind of maybe sleeping on him a little bit. Again, this is only his third, basically his first full season in the majors was 2021. So he could be one of those little guys that's maybe a little bit more under the radar, underappreciated, I guess, because he's just like, you know, he's basically the third pitcher on that rotation. So, I mean, I know I'm looking forward to see what he can do is going forward. Like I said, he's only 26 still, so not ready to hit his prime years.
Boom, right?
What's
like,
that?
This is right before the breakout. Like,
yeah,
this is probably the cheapest offseason you're going to be able to get him if he's who we think he is.
Right, yeah. If he can continue the control, you know, keep cutting back on those walks, I think, because even the beginning of the year and in the middle of the season, he did have some times where he was like 5-6 walks a game, which obviously is not ideal. So if he can continue building on that success of the command he had in the end of 2021, I mean, yeah, I think it's all hands on deck for him. Because he's only 26, so I think for if you're looking for maybe a, you know, semi-cheap option, I mean, I'd be looking to try and buy seats wherever possible.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I know Dave loves him, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here. He's not in the top 20 for me, and I kind of can't look at my rankings because I have adjusted them. Well, I guess I can, but I've adjusted my rankings since I took him here. But he was, let's see, I had him 105th overall at one point in time. Oh, well, maybe not so bad. And right now it looks like I've got him up to 94. So I guess maybe he did make a little bit of a jump, but for the purposes of today, he's not in the top 20. So I actually originally had him drop a couple of spots as far as the starting pitching ranks went, but I think as I've been maneuvering and, you know, everything else, it looks as though he has jumped up, because I've dropped quite a few guys that are in that range, down, I wouldn't say a significant amount, but I mean, you know, a noticeable amount. So it looks like that kind of just worked itself out. So maybe he actually did make a slight jump, but so I've got prospect here. And to be honest, there's not a whole lot to talk about, you know, right now in the White Sox organization. Obviously, you know, once upon a time, not too long ago, they were just absolutely, you know, stacked. But, you know, all of those big names have graduated. They're all at the big league level, which is why you're seeing so much success from them. So the guy that I want to talk about is Yolqui Cespedes, who is actually the younger brother of Jonas Cespedes. I'm sure most people know that name if you don't know, you know, Yolqui. But normally in this segment, you know, I've always kind of kept it on the positive side of things and, you know.
Oh, are we going to go negative here?
We're going to go on the other side
of things. Oh, my God. 2022 coming in negative.
Coming in hot. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess it may not exactly be the worst thing in the world. But I just not quite as high, I think, on him as others. Like, I haven't gotten that far down in my rankings yet. So, I mean, he's currently sitting just outside the top 600, you know, which for prospects.
Who's like above him and below him, if you, or like near? Who's number 500? Just so I can get like.
Oh, number 500? Well, that's quite a difference.
Yeah.
He is in the, let's see, guys that are right around him. Cameron Misner, Mitch Keller. Sean Doolittle.
Okay.
He's in that area. Vince Velasquez. I'm just trying to name some guys that are, you know, that people would be like, oh yeah, okay. But I mean, for me, where I say it's kind of negative, but it isn't, is I think that he's going to be one of those guys that ends up being a better real life player than he is a dynasty player. So You know, you got to just be careful. And I would say this all the time, but you really need to be careful when you're looking at, you know, prospects and doing, you know, research or, you know, just checking out different pieces of work, because you've got to look to see, is it just a straight like MLB prospect, you know, write up or rankings or whatever, or is it a, you know, fantasy or dynasty baseball kind of thing? Because, you know, the two biggest things that, you know, Cespedes has going for him is, you know, he's got pretty good raw power, and he's got a fantastic arm. I mean, he's, look who his brother is, you know, so you kind of get the idea. He doesn't quite have the same power, obviously, but he's got the same arm. He's just, you know, a little bit less physical than his brother. So I think that he's a guy that if everything goes well, you know, you're going to see, you know, you could see decent home run numbers from him. You know, I'd be pretty concerned about his average, but, you know, he's going to be a very light version, you know, at ceiling, you know, potentially of what his brother was. But defensively, you know, is where, you know, he probably makes his biggest impact, because, you know, he's got a 70 grade arm, and he's got, you know, he's got the athleticism to go ahead and stay in center field. So, you know, real life wise, you know, I think that there's a good chance we see him pretty soon, you know, probably this year, assuming we play baseball. I mean, he's 24 years old, so he's a lot older, you know, than your typical prospect, because, you know, he was in Cuba for so long. But he's only gotten as high as double A, and he didn't even quite have 100 at-bats there. So, you know, most of his action has came in Cuba. So wouldn't be surprised if we see him later this year. But he's more of a real life prospect than a dynasty prospect. So I would just say, you know, to keep that in mind. Okay. So let's get to the pitchers here. And I thought that it made the most sense to just go and start at one and kind of work our way down, you know, since not everyone's going to be watching this, you know, live. So if you can't see, you know, at the bottom of the screen here with our scroller, that's okay. If you're just listening, we're going to rattle through it here. And, you know, for these rankings, the one main thing to consider, and it's basically the Ohtani setting, is you've got to know in your specific league, is it weekly or is it daily? Because in a daily league, a guy like, pretty much Ohtani only, you know, has to me, a significant gap in value. If it's daily, to where you can plug him in as a hitter, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 days a week, and then you can plug him in as pitcher, you know, on the day he pitches, I think that tremendously increases his value, because you're literally getting two players. If you're in a weekly league, you've got to pick. Do you want Ohtani's one or two starts that week, or do you want him as a hitter? You don't get two players. So for this format, as I'm doing it, I'm considering a daily league, because that's pretty much almost exclusively what I play. So with that being said, that does make Ohtani number one. I guess I'd really have to think about where I would put him exactly if it wasn't a daily league and it was just weekly. He'd probably be sitting somewhere around, I mean, just for guys that are pitching eligible, I don't know, maybe have him sixth or seventh, honestly. But I've got Ohtani number one. He's number four overall for me in my rankings. I got Walker Buehler at number two. He comes in 18th overall in the rankings. And then I got Jacob deGrom third. Directly behind Buehler in the rankings as well. He's at 19th. I got Garrett Cole, 4th. He's 22nd overall in the rankings. And Brandon Woodruff comes in 5th. He is 24 overall in the rankings. So we go Ohtani, Buehler, DeGrom, Cole, Woodruff. That's what I have. Subject to change. But what do you gentlemen think about top 5 starting pitchers for Dynasty heading into 2022?
I think your list is, you know, it's really good. I like all these guys. I think they're all top 5. Like I said, the only thing that you're going to question is obviously the Ohtani. I unfortunately own him in a weekly league, and it sucks. I don't ever play him at pitcher just because his hitting is just way more valuable than his pitching is.
I agree.
So I think, you know, it's splitting hairs in the top 5 here. The Ohtani thing, I'm not sure, you know, it's like, you know, him or Buehler at one. You can obviously go either way. Otani, he's had a little bit small of a sample size here in America. However, that sample size is great. So, you know, I don't know. I don't see anything that I would change here in the top five. Like I said, if anything I would change, it would just be like Walker and Buehler swapped. I mean, Buehler and Otani swap. But other than that, I mean, that's just splitting hairs, and it's also based off of your league settings too.
I would just put Corbin Burns in there.
At which one? One.
I would. I mean, you guys know who I'm kicking out of the top five, but it's Gerrit Cole. See you later. But I think Burns is better than Woodruff. But that's an argument that anyone can make. It's. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see where Burns comes in. He's in the 6 to 10 range, so we'll cover him.
He's not six shortly.
For me, I think as I'm sitting down to do these rankings, honestly, as much as I hate to do it, because you know it can be argued that the absolute best pitcher in baseball is Jacob DeGrom. I think he's actually going to fall out of my top five just because.
Just because
injuries and age. Yeah. I mean, not like 33 super old, but you know, these other guys are all significantly younger. Yeah, 20. Yeah, exactly. All these guys are significantly younger than him. So 33 in that regard, you know, ends up becoming, you know, old compared to those guys at least. I mean, you know, Otani's 27, Buehler's 27. I mean, Cole's 31, so he, you know, that's right there. And then, you know, Woodruff is 33. So it's not like it's a massive age difference. But I think that it makes a difference. And then, like I said, you add in that injury concerns. And I think DeGrom's going to be the guy that falls out of there for me, which would move Burns up.
Yeah.
I would assume. And I might move Burns ahead of Woodruff as well. I go back and forth on those two guys because they really are so similar. If you had to pick between Burns or Woodruff, I mean, would you feel disgusted in either direction? You know, I think you would just, you know, you'd be happy in either. I don't think a lot of people feel super strong one or over the other.
Just wait until next year when they have three people in the top seven.
Oh my God! Well, we're gonna get to Freddy Peralta as well here. So just to recap, there on number five, just to Nick's point here, Brandon Woodruff was fifth. He came in at 24th overall. When we get to 6 through 10, there's Corbin Burns directly behind him. Number six, directly behind him in the rankings as well at 25. So they are literally right back to back.
Yeah.
So updates to be changed here. I will have new rankings out here before too long, probably sometime over the weekend. But as it sat with the previous rankings, that's where we were. I got Shane Bieber coming in at seventh, 29th overall. Lucas Giolito is coming in eighth at 42nd overall. So that's where we kind of get our drop a little bit. We got between Buehler and Bieber, so number two to number seven, we're only talking an 11 spot difference. So we've got, you know, a handful of guys all kind of right there. And then when we get down to number nine, now we get Freddy Peralta. So that makes three of the nine.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Pitchers, yeah. Milwaukee Brewers. Like, how are they not more dominant? You know. It's just crazy. Ridiculous. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah, to have three absolute aces, you know, on your team. But whatever. Number 10, Julio Urias. I got him coming in 47th overall. So to recap, 6 through 10, Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, Lucas Giolito, Freddy Peralta, Jose Urias. What do you guys think about 6 through 10 following 1 through 5?
It seems pretty good. there's one guy that I would put in there. But I'm assuming he's just going to be number 11 or number 12. So
that would be. I mean, by all means, say.
I think Wheeler should be in the top 10.
Okay, Wheeler is definitely in the next five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has to be. I think maybe I'm just like, I owned Giolito last year in one of my leagues, and I didn't think he was that great. So maybe that's why I'm like looking at him being like, get him the fuck out of there. But he's good too. Like, it's so hard. Like, the top 10 in pitchers are still, if you have one of these top 10 pitchers, you're an ace on your staff. If you go, if you go to the top 10 any other position, you're like, well, the 10th guy is kind of like a jabroni.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously the Freddie Peralta ranking is very aggressive. Still only 25 though, so I can kind of get where the aggressiveness come from. Great 2021. I think similar to the Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta, maybe a little bit of recency bias. I don't think Corbin Burns as much as Freddie Peralta, but again, I'm not opposed to Freddie Peralta being in the top 10 because I think he's a stud and he's on his way to becoming and staying a stud. I agree. I think if I were to swap anything out, I mean, maybe those three guys, Peralta, Urias, and then I think Wheeler, to me, again, I agree with Nick, should be in the top 10 just because, again, maybe recency bias because he also had a great 2021. So a lot of these guys are more newcomers, I'm assuming, to your rankings in the top 10 as far as that goes. I mean, obviously, Freddie Peralta was not in the top 10 going into the season, probably not even halfway through the season.
Are you sure as that wasn't?
Right. So, but other than that, I mean, yeah, these guys are all, you know, great. And like Nick said, I'm not a Giolito guy. I never was. I mean, maybe when he was a prospect and he came out of high school, he was great. But then, you know, a little bit of down year last year. So I could see him getting swapped out maybe with Wheeler for the top 10.
Yeah. So quick spoiler alert. As I'm looking at the rankings I have not published yet, Giolito has fallen out of that top 10. And I think you'd actually makes be sense. Surprised by the guy that has really jumped him. I've actually got a guy that has jumped all the way up into the ninth spot in my other list here. But anyways,
let's get to their name yet or no?
No, you have not even mentioned him yet. We have not talked about him quite yet. So one of these guys, there's
Wheeler.
So one of these guys here, one of these five, is actually basically not swap spots with Lucas, but Lucas has dropped and this guy's made quite
is
a
it
jump.
Sandy?
We'll get there.
it is.
So number 11, I've got Zach
this
Wheeler
is actually, like, really fun.
Coming in at 50th overall. Carlos Rodon, 52nd overall. 13th, Jack Flaherty at 53 overall. 14th, Luis Castillo at 60 overall. And then 15th, Sandy Alcantara at 61st overall. So 11 through 15, Wheeler, Rodon, Flaherty, Castillo, Alcantara. What do you guys think about that third set?
I think these are my five favorite players
by value.
Value-wise, if you can, I would trade one person in the top five for two of these.
One person in the top five for two of these?
Yes.
Well, you wouldn't really do – you're not really talking Cole, are you?
Oh, no. I would do any of the top five for two of these people. If
I think he's saying, like, in a league,
I thought you would take two of these guys.
I'm saying, like
– no, like, in a league.
I trade, like, Woodrow for Wheeler and Jack Flaherty.
Oh, right. I see. I don't know. I mean, my in a daily league. I mean, honestly, the guy that I'm most likely to own one through five is Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
Just because I think people are going to be higher than Ohtani than I am, even though I've got him fourth overall. I don't know that in a startup dynasty. Yeah, I'd probably take him fourth overall. But I'm most likely to own Buehler. Would I trade Buehler for two of those guys? Rodon is probably my least favorite out of that group. Let me see. I'm pretty sure I moved Rodon down.
Is he a free agent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rodon is actually, I mean, not to give too much away, but Rodon has moved outside of my top 20 at this point with my update. As it sits without further changes, I've actually got him 25th. So he's made quite a drop. I think a little too much recency bias was going into my feelings on him. And so I think he got a little too high, but I mean, I guess really, you know, would I do Flaherty and Castillo for Buehler? Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, I don't know that there's a crazy significant difference. I mean, we're going from 18th overall basically to two guys, you know, we'll say 55th overall. So yeah. I think that's probably pretty fair. And you're getting two guys instead of one, and you know how I feel about pitching. So
yeah,
I'd rather have two arms. I'd rather have two good arms, like two really, really good arms, and an elite one. So yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Castillo was a faller in this list.
Yeah, he was probably top. He might have been top 10 at this time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
The way that it's set up for me, I don't know where he sat. But yeah, he fell, and he's slowly working his way back up. Fun fact, during the season, and it's, you know how I feel about catching, but yep. You also know how I feel about pitching. But just based on team needs, I actually traded straight up Adley Rutschman for Luis Castillo. And it was right as his value was starting to rebound. So he probably had two or three, you know, good starts, you know, at that point. So I don't know. We'll see that deal. I don't know how that deal is going to pan out. That's one of those we'll see in 3 to 5 years how that panned out. But my team needed pitching. I had Salvador Perez at the time at catcher. I have neither Sal Perez or Adley, obviously, now. Dalton Varsho is that guy. But I needed pitching much more than I needed even a generational catching guy. So yeah, Castillo might be a guy that moves up. I've always liked him a little more than most. So
and
I don't know.
I have too. And I'm also wondering, too, do we see him fall even further down is what my also concern is because – you know, down 2021, you know, he had the failed changeup this season. Everyone was just teeing off on it. So I'd like to see where it goes from here. Does he rebound? Because we did see him kind of rebound here at the end of the season.
Yeah,
he did a big cut down rebound on the walks. Yeah, so like I said, he's one of those guys that could be a huge riser or a huge faller. So that one has got me intrigued.
Yeah, his value definitely kind of, you know, drop, and then kind of slowly worked its way back up. So, I don't know, 14 might be higher than most. I don't think it's out of line.
No, not at all.
He has, you know, top 10 potential easy.
Oh, yeah. He probably was top 10 before the season.
Yeah, he might have been, or at least right around there. So then we'll go 16 through 20 to just round it out. Number 16, Trevor Rogers comes in 62nd overall. Number 17, Aaron Nola comes in 64th overall. Mr. Controversy in 30 Rock Chat, Max Scherzer, comes in 74th overall. We will leave out the reason that Max is a controversy. I don't think it would be fair to speak
right
for that reason. But Max Scherzer, 74th overall. I think that's an interesting guy where, you know, his value – I'd be curious to hear what you guys think on him specifically. But Joe Musgrove comes in 75th overall. And then rounding out number 20, Alex Manoah comes in 78th overall. So 16 through 20 goes Trevor Rogers, Aaron Nola, Max Scherzer, Joe Musgrove, Alec Manoah. What do you guys think?
I love the inclusion of Manoah in top 20. Yeah. I feel like slightly aggressive. I don't know what it is compared to other, you know, rankings in the industry, but I think that's quite in line to where it should be. We saw him, you know, come on strong in 2021 and never really looked like he was overmatched. So I think that's I like that top 20 ranking for Manoah.
Yeah, the worst thing I can say about Alec Manoah is just simply what division he's in. You know, I guess thank God he's not on the Orioles. And I only say that because that means he doesn't have to face the Blue Jays. You know, if you've got to face the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays in, you know, we'll just even say like half your starts.
Yeah.
That's tough, you know. So, you know, any Tampa Bay Ray or, you know, Oriole, I think makes it a little more difficult. But yeah.
Same with the Trevor Rogers. I like that ranking as well. Yeah, one of those guys.
That's another tough one.
Yeah.
He's just trendy, though. Like, he's like somebody that last year people were like, oh, this is the dude. And then, like, he was.
He proved it, though. Yeah, he proved it. Yeah. He proved that he probably shouldn't be. Because he's still young, too. I think he's maybe 24, 25. So, I mean, for dynasty purposes, really good. I mean, him and Sandy have basically back-to-back. They are back-to-back, I think, right? So, the two Marlin guys.
Musgrove is the only guy that, like, I just don't want because he's
– You bite your lip, Nick.
No. What?
I'm not going to argue with Musgrove's rankings. You know how I feel about Musgrove, but
I do. That's the first pod, I think, was Joe Musgrove job.
Yeah. Exactly.
No hitter. So
that started our string of talking about pitchers and then getting no hitters at the beginning of 2021. Yeah. But yeah, I think Max
that I like more that I haven't seen, but I can't remember.
Right. I don't know. You know, this is only the top 20. I see you got Max Scherzer at 18. I know we didn't get to see Verlander, who's, I think, kind of in that same boat other than just the injury with JV. Well, so
Verlander is significantly different.
Do you think, like, how much lower? I don't have your list in front of me, but is it, like, significant? Like, back end? Is he top 100 even?
No. When I look at just starting pitching rankings,
yeah,
he is 149.
Wow.
But there's a big difference. So, I mean,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Like,
Max Scherzer and getting Tommy John at age 37. So,
yeah. So, Max Scherzer, you know, for a fact, at least next year, well, not for a fact, but you should know what to expect from Max next year. And who knows what will happen beyond that. We don't know what to expect from JV next year. And that might be his last season. So, there's a tremendous difference. It's kind of like my Nelson Cruz ranking. Like Nelson Cruz, you know, if you're talking about redraft, might
hit 70 home runs.
That's different. But Nelson Cruz, he's probably on his last. I mean, you might be done. He might not even play again. I mean, who knows? Yeah. So Nelson Cruz, like, if you were to look at that list and go, wait, why is Nelson Cruz not in the top 600? Because you're getting 1 year out of him. Like,
maybe.
You know, you could find a top 150 prospect that theoretically you're going to get more value out of than 1 year of Nelson Cruz. I mean, you know what I mean? So, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many more years do we have of dominant Max Scherzer? Could be one, two, three. Yeah. But yes, I mean, for dynasty purposes, one or two seasons of a top five pitcher, I feel like that's warranted of a top 20 overall ranking for pitchers.
Oh, I thought of someone that I want more than Joe Musgrove, Lance Lynn.
Okay, let's see.
I love Lance Lynn.
In the updated one, because I don't have access like now 24. To the other one.
Yeah, but he's a little bit older.
Lance Lynn, I got 29th right now. Again, yeah. That's subject to change.
That's close.
But yeah, you're not far off. That's errors to some extent.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into these prospects here real quick. I don't want to spend nearly as much time on these guys, but I do want to rattle off. We're only going 10 deep, so none of these names should be shocking. All of these names are highly coveted dynasty assets. And again, this is subject to change. But as of right now, 1 through 5, number one, I got Shane Baz, 119th overall. And I don't even think of him as like the number one pitching prospect in baseball, but that's where he falls. With that being said, when we go through the list of 10, I can't really sit there and point out anyone that I would say, oh yeah, that he should be ahead of him. So, I mean, Shane Baz, number one pitching prospect in baseball, man. Directly behind him on this list and in the overall, Grayson Rodriguez, 120th overall, so literally a spot behind. And then Sixto Sanchez comes in at 122. So those three guys are within – those three guys are within four spots. And then we get a little bit of a drop. We go down to George Kirby. He comes in at 160. And Emerson Hancock comes in at 171. So so just to recap, Shane Baz, number one. Grayson Rodriguez, number two. Sixto Sanchez, number three. George Kirby, four. Emerson Hancock, five. And we go from 119 to 171 in the overall. So quick thoughts on that, guys.
I love
George Kirby, for sure. I love him. It's pitching prospects. And you're talking about – I think when you talk about the top 10 pitching prospects, they're all pretty much in that same tier because it's just so hard to project what – a pitcher is going to do at the major league level. It's a little bit easier when you talk about hitters. So I don't think you can really talk about, you know, this guy deserves to be ranked higher. One thing that I would like to see would have been lighter. I don't know where you have him ranked, but that's hard to say because he's a newcomer. So we don't know what to expect from him. Obviously he dominated the college level, but again, it's hard to say with the pitching prospect. I think anyone in the top 10 are right in that same tier.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, at this
point, I think some might get a. Yeah.
Well,
I was going to say, I think sometimes you get the pitching thing, you can give people bumps for proximity. I think that's about the only thing you can really do.
Agreed.
Obviously, I mean, Shane Baz, Grayson. Sixto's already been made his debut, small debut. So, yeah.
I mean, all pretty of these much, guys should be in within the next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the list, there's not much that I can't see. I mean, I guess I'll look up the ETA on one guy just to Hancock, get another opinion. No, on the next list.
Oh, okay.
I just want to see where. Well, everyone should be debuting here next year or maybe the year after. I mean, I guess, well, we'll see. But either way, even going from one to the guy that's going to be 10th, we go from 119 to 203. So that's an 80 yeah. overall gap for 10 guys. You could argue that they are fairly interchangeable. I mean, I could take those 10 names, put them in a hat, pull them out randomly, and I think the ranking would be arguable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's round it out here, 6 through 10. Max Meyer comes in at 180. Nick Lodolo comes in at 194. Cade Cavalli right behind him, 195. Right behind him, Hunter Green, 199. And then there's Jack Leiter, the 10th starting pitching prospect at 203. Obviously, Leiter comes out and dominates.
He shoots up.
Anyone that isn't equally dominant, he's going to jump ahead of. So at this time next year, Jack Leiter easily could be number one. And that could be kind of by default because Boz is going to graduate.
Yeah.
Sixto should graduate. Lodolo was probably going to graduate. So, I mean, he could just fall in the top five just by default without somebody jumping him. So wouldn't be a hard to see him jump that high. But in this group of five, it's literally only the difference between 180th overall and 203rd overall. So we're talking a 23 spot gap. Again, subject to change. As a matter of fact, let me see if I've moved Jack Leiter around. I've got him at 203 there. And let me just see. I've just barely gotten through the top 200 as I'm going through and doing the updating here. So yeah, Jack Leiter's moved up a smidge, 192 at the moment. So small bump.
Yeah.
And that's not final, but so small bump there. And so maybe somebody has dropped. I don't know. But yeah, that's the list. I think that's fun to do. I think it makes for good conversation. It doesn't go quite as deep as maybe we would like, but I think sometimes the best conversations are the ones where, you know,
organic.
You go so many different directions, kind of, you know, like this starting pitching top 10. I think that you could make a argument for just about any one of those guys to be number one, and you could at least hold weight. You may not, you know, I don't know how many people would say, oh, Hunter Green's the number one pitching prospect in baseball. But would anyone be shocked if Hunter Green ends up being the number one guy out of these
10? Those 10? Yeah.
No. I mean, it's entirely possible. And you could say that about any one of those guys. So it's interesting. So I think next week, maybe we'll move to the outfield. We'll get the two deep ones out of the way. We'll go top 20, maybe top 25 outfielders. And then we'll go whatever. We'll go 10 prospects deep. And then we'll go ahead and snag another team. Let's see. Let's pick our next team right now. I randomly am going to think. I don't know what teams we've done. I know you guys did some without me. I'll tell you what, let's do my hometown team. Let's go ahead and let's do the Tigers.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Yep, we'll knock the Tigers out. We'll do the Tigers. Deep Dynasty Dives.
Yours, Tigers, the last of the three teams that we have not done. Yeah, so that'll round it out.
So I'll already volunteer to take hitter. I've already got somebody in mind. Unless you guys want me to pick a deep prospect out of my ass, I can do a deep prospect. Okay, so I'll take hitter, and then we'll go outfield, top 20, top 25, maybe probably top 25, and top 10 prospects. So, all right, guys, that was a good show. I really enjoyed it.
That was great.
Also,
don't forget check out fantasysixpack.net. We got 2022 starting up here.
Yes.
Got a ton of great content coming out. First year player draft stuff, all going back to I got my buy or sell coming out. Nick, you got your
Dynasty Player of the Week. I think it's tomorrow if I can figure out how to put an image in.
So, yeah, make sure you check out the website.
Question.
Yeah,
we've
got a lot of image stuff.
Of Suzuki.
What did you say?
Where do I have him?
No, how would I find an image of him?
Oh, good luck.
The one that I found is like
free domain. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that may be hard.
Okay, so just do like a stock, like baseball.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but okay. Fun fact, he's right around 160 in the updated rankings.
So cool. Just all right. Well, I can add that.
Yeah, but real quick, just to kind of run down what we have going on, because we've got some new stuff going on.
Yeah,
we got our boy named Bailey. He's doing a prospect centric piece.
Already pumping out content. I saw was published.
He came out just after Christmas, so.
Was that the red one?
Yep. So he's on to article number two. So he's rocking and rolling. We got Andrew Sperling. His will probably drop tomorrow. He's doing dynasty strategy related articles.
Love it.
So I know he actually submitted his today, but we got a little work to do with it. So that should be coming out tomorrow. Obviously, Nick, his is due tomorrow. So you'll see that on Thursday on the site. We got Jason's buy and sell. That is going to be coming out every Friday. And then we got another new guy to the site, Dap Scout. He's been doing.
Can we get him on the pod?
I don't know. He's kind of ugly.
I don't know. He's so funny. I think we would really, really hit it off.
I will reach out to JP and see what he thinks of potentially coming on. He is a good dude. Him and I, you should see our DMs. You can imagine what that looks like. I'm in a 30 team league with him as well. So that's fun. But yeah, so we got Depth Scouts Corner. That's guys, that's had three articles I think out. So
nice.
It's a little bit of a different article because it is baseball and sports related, but it is with a twist of humor and just kind of some real life stuff. So it's a little bit more light. It's a little more entertaining than educational, but it's a really good read. You definitely can get some good stuff from it. And Michael Snyder, he's still doing our prospect rankings. So every month you'll see that updated. And then there's some asshole that does a dynasty rankings
monthly.
Yeah, so you might see something from him coming out later on this weekend for the newest update with lots of changes as you always get with your off season ones. I made quite a few changes in the latest one, which was towards the end of November. This one's got some more changes. They're not really so much near the top. They're more in the middle of the rankings. But yeah, you'll definitely want to check that out. If you haven't done so, please go ahead and throw a quick like on this. It takes 1 second. And if you haven't subscribed already, I would highly suggest you do that so you can keep track of us. You can turn on notifications, get a 30-minute warning of when our ugly faces are going to come on. And hey, we appreciate everyone that tuned in. Go ahead and give my boy Jason a follow over there at JR Bex on Twitter. If you're not following me already, I am at Corporal Eddie. And then we got Nick Zanaboni over there, ZANIBONI 93. That's N Zanaboni 93 on Twitter. So thank you. Appreciate everybody. And we will catch you next week.
See you later.